Greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus. It's a pleasant, beautiful morning to gather together to worship the Lord in God's house. I invite you to turn with me for a text verse to Matthew chapter 7. Text verse is verse 12. I don't know exactly why God laid this on my heart. Simple message this morning, but as I prayed and labored for what to share this morning, this is what I believe that God gave me to share today. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Let's read it this time. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Just a simple verse right there. And Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was speaking to the people. You will notice earlier there in chapter 7, Jesus is talking about judging. Judge not that ye be not judged. He goes on to say that he's challenging them. Why are you looking to cast out a small speck out of your brother's eye when there's a beam in your own eye? He's talking about dealing with your own life, and then you can see clearly to deal with others. He's talking about in verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. And turn again and read you, verses 7 to 9. Well, 7 to 11, he's talking about ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. He goes on to say, what man is there of you if his son asks bread? Is he going to give him a stone? If your son is going to ask some bread of you, are you going to turn around and give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish of you, something to eat, are you going to give him a serpent? Are you going to give him a snake? And his logic is no. If ye then, being evil, know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? In other words, if evil men know how to give good things to their children, how much more is our Father in heaven? Is he able to give us the good things to them that ask him? And then he goes on in verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This has been noted as the golden rule. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, very similar. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to just turn back there. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is referencing back to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge or take revenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. As I sat at my desk and studied and prayed, I had to think and ask myself the question, how do I love myself? Did you ever stop and think about that? How do you love yourself? In other words, the Bible is telling us that whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Likewise, Leviticus here in the Old Testament law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Well, how do you love yourself? Did you ever think about it? How do you love yourself? Well, I jotted down just a few things and I sat there and thought about it. How do I love myself? Now, thinking in terms, I think it means how do we take care of ourselves? Well, number one, I do not want to harm myself. If there's things that are going to harm me, I do not want to do it and get harmed. I don't want to harm myself. I don't like pain. I don't want to harm myself. How else do I like myself? Well, I like to be comfortable. I seek to satisfy my needs. I do. I love myself, and I'm sure you do. You seek to satisfy your needs. I treat myself kindly. I don't seek to beat up on myself. If I'm hammering a nail and I'm trying to hammer a nail into a piece of wood, I seek to hit the metal nail. I don't hit my thumb. I don't like if I hit my thumb. It hurts. I think Galatians 5:13 gives a good definition of the golden rule. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, in verse 13. Ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. In the last part, but by love serve one another. By love serve one another. We are born with differing personalities. We are. Some of us are born with more of an outgoing personality, more of a personality that empathizes or is more compassionate than others. Some individuals are born with this is how it is, and lay the law down, and don't really care about other people's feelings a whole lot. This is just the way it is. And we're born with different personalities. We are born that way. But by and large, the makeup of human nature is the same. We are all born with the Adamic nature. The nature, it is the fallen nature, and that nature seeks to satisfy ourself. And we want things for ourself. And we're selfish by nature. If a two-year-old could carry out everything if they would have the strength to carry out everything that they would set out to do, it would be not good. By nature, we are not loving and kind. By nature, we do not possess the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are born selfish. At a very young age, a baby will begin to make the desires of himself known. And we understand that, and that is normal, and it is good. This is how God designed for parents to be made aware of the child's needs. The child cries, and the child wants a need satisfied, and parents, the child cannot talk, and parents discern what that need is. But in time, as the child grows, these desires need to be directed and trained, because the parent directs the child's desires, I guess. God calls his children to live for the good of others and to be willing to suffer so others might be helped. Men and women seek to fulfill their selfish lusts and in the process cause pain and suffering on others. We see that in the world we live. And I think sometimes we see it in the church. We are selfish people, and we seek to pamper ourselves. The world knows very little of unselfish living. Men and women seek to fulfill their selfish lust. And I said that. What would be the result if men and women would, in humility and sincerity, obey the golden rule? As ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise. If Hereford and Bally and Pottstown and Reading and Lancaster, all of a sudden this virus would go out, that everybody is doing to other people like they would like to be treated, the culture would change. The culture would change. A person who lives for the good of others is one who takes time to focus. Let me say this again. A person who lives for the good of others is one who takes little time to focus on his own inconvenience. To truly care about people requires a change in the heart level, a change inside of me. Now, in an effort to help me to evaluate myself, I made a list of selfish and unselfish responses. Evaluate myself. I think this comes down to living out, therefore, all things whatsoever that I would that men should do to me, I am to do even to them likewise. It comes down to, am I a selfish person or an unselfish person? Think about it this way. A selfish person wants the best. They want the best cookie. They want the best piece of pie. They want the best. If there's an option, they want the best. Selfish. They want the best. Unselfish person. They give the best. A selfish person is covetous. An unselfish person is content. A selfish person is revengeful. An unselfish person is merciful. A selfish person is jealous. An unselfish person is thankful. A selfish person is proud. An unselfish person is humble. A selfish person is unkind. A selfish person is unkind. An unselfish person is kind. A selfish person is harsh. An unselfish person is gentle. A selfish person seeks self-exaltation. An unselfish person is happy when others excel. A selfish person is judgmental. An unselfish person is compassionate. And the list could go on and on and on. I do not do well in judging myself. The best judgment of myself is my family and other people judge me better than I can judge myself. Because we love ourselves. We love ourselves. As I pondered this, my studies took me to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. The Lord's contention with Israel. And we see in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? That's a question. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? It's also in a question form. What does the Lord require of me? And as I think about this, fulfilling the law and the prophets, we could draw a plus sign where we have our relationship with God as vertical. We could draw a horizontal line right through the vertical line, which is our relationships with other people. And then we could draw a circle around that. The Bible calls us, say it this way, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Our relationship with God is interconnected with our relationship with people. In other words, if my relationship with people is bad, there's no doubt a problem with my vertical relationship as well. If I can't get along with people, there's something wrong. What doth the Lord require of thee? First of all, to do justly. Secondly, to love mercy. And thirdly, to walk humbly with thy God. I'd like to look at these three just briefly. To do, to love, and to walk. God is concerned how we relate to others. Practicing the golden rule should be the way of life for the Christian. It should be our rule and guide as we conduct ourselves. And I want to be understood, I am not teaching or preaching this morning that we are to just be all-inclusive and it doesn't matter. That teaching is afloat today, very prevalent, that it doesn't really matter what you do, we're all okay. Structure is not needed. That's I do not believe that's the Bible teaching. We must stick to truth and to live, to do justly. To do justly is to live a righteous life, and that the righteous means right living, a righteous life before God, and to deal rightly with people. To do justly. The Bible laws of truth must be our foundation. Relationship does not trump truth. Truth trumps relationship. But to do justly means that we relate to people without partiality. James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. James 2, 8, it comes up again. If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Am I guilty of partiality? Am I guilty of partiality? To do justly means that we relate to people honestly. 2 Corinthians 8:21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We relate to people honestly. To do justly is to do good to all men. Justly. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. I believe that within the household of faith, there is an extra special doing good to each other, which is not partiality, but there's a special connection of brotherhood and oneness there should be to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. To love mercy is to embrace an attitude of kindness and forgiveness towards those who have wronged us. To love mercy does not seek revenge, Romans 12, 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We must evaluate our responses. We are selfish by nature. And within the heart of us, there's that attitude that springs up. I am guilty of it myself. Luke chapter 6, 27 to 42 gives us instructions on Christian living and non-resistance. In verse 36 is the verse, be ye therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. I'm just going to turn to Luke chapter 6 and just read those verses. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27 to 42. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, also offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every one that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. How merciful is your Father? How merciful was your Father to you? Your Father in heaven. How merciful. I tell you, we live in a culture that is becoming increasingly hostile and becoming increasingly I don't know, revengeful. Our world, the world in which we live, is angry. God forbid that it should rub off on us. Jesus is a prime example of this. As he hung on the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Stephen cried out, "Lay not this sin to their charge." A merciful, a love. Number three, walk humbly. Walk humbly. Isaiah 57, 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, we have the account of the publican and the Pharisee. Pharisee and the publican standing praying. The publican smote his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Humility. What is my view of myself? Yes, we believe in having good self-esteem. Do I view myself as one who has all the answers to life's problems, or do I have a heart of humility? That, you know what, there's some things that I can learn too. Do I have a heart that is broken before God and yielded to him, walking humbly with thy God? Walk humbly with God. A constant awareness that God is with me and I am his child is walking humbly. I want to do what pleases him in every area of my life. To walk humbly with God means to walk modestly, lowly, and humble. It means that we're not extravagant in our walk of life. We're walking lowly and humble. It is letting God lead me. When I come to a door in life, as I pass through life, I'm allowing God to go through the door ahead of me. I'm following God and I'm walking with him. When an individual has a conceited view of himself, he finds it difficult to empathize with others. Jesus is our example of one of humility. He walked humbly. Jesus was not about his own works. He came to fulfill the work of his Father and pointed men to him. He had a genuine interest in the lives of others. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And as I studied that and looked at that, I wondered, why is casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, coming right after humble ourselves to God? The thought that occurred to me, that it appears there is a connection between being able to cast our care on Jesus, cast our care on the Lord. There's a connection between that and humility. There's a connection between able to take those burdens of our heart, those things that are weighing us down, and being able to cast them on the Lord. There's a connection between that and an humble heart. Perhaps my cares and anxieties that I feel are related to a proud heart. Maybe I'm not as broken as God would have me to be. May God help us as we relate together and as we relate to other people. To relate to others as we would want to be treated. I'm sure that you have hurts in your life, and you can remember times where you were taken across. Somebody treated you totally not like you wanted to be treated. We remember those things, don't we? God help us to forget them. But are we living our life in such a way that we want to have as minimal hurts to other people from the way we relate than we can? May God help us. Let us kneel to pray.